Welcome to Beyond the Arc, sponsored by MemphisFlyer.com. I'm Phil Nasons, and I'm your co-host. He's Kevin Leip, and he's the other co-host. What's happening, dude? Welcome back.
Yeah, I was about to say, what's happening is we're doing a podcast.
Which has been a while, yes. And I appreciate all the nice words and kind things that people have been writing to me, wondering what happened. And I feel pretty good today. I have some energy, and that's a good thing. But I've been enjoying... I shouldn't even say stuff like this. Okay, but I'm going to anyway. The Grizzlies currently are 18-31, which is kind of about where I thought they'd be. They've won six straight at home, which is a good thing if you are one of those inclined to want them to win while you're paying your hard-earned money. They are currently the 12th seed, and they are eight games out. And I'll be honest, I enjoyed Monday night's game. I don't care what anybody says. I enjoyed that victory. I don't care if it's the Suns. I don't really care. They played good, I thought. The young guys did.
They did play well. I wouldn't go so far as to say I enjoyed that game because it was just a reminder of how terrible the Suns are.
Right. That's true, too. Yeah.
But this whole homestand, you know, they've played seven home games in the last two or three weeks, and some of them have been really fun. The come-from-behind win over Philadelphia was really fun. They beat the Knicks. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, for you it was fun. For me it was, well...
That's the real reason you stopped doing the show.
That's the real reason. Because I couldn't live that one down.
No, but they've had some good games. They got crushed by the Spurs, but that's normal. You know, I think what you're seeing now is kind of what we started talking about when they first started getting it together, like right before Christmas. And I mean, what you're seeing is they have young talent, and the young guys are kind of developing. And when you have young guys who are actually learning how to play basketball, you know, you can't be as bad as these teams that are garbage, right? Like the Suns are garbage, the Kings are garbage, and they don't have any good players. But when you have Marc Gasol and you have, you know, decent point guards. You have Mario Chalmers is doing an okay job right now. Your young guys, they get better if they're any good. And I think that's what you're seeing. So, yeah, it benefits the Grizzlies to lose games because ultimately they want the highest draft pick they can get in this draft. But at the same time, you don't want them to cost development of these young guys. I mean, I think the Suns, I was talking to a Grizzlies executive before the Suns game. It was like, you know, I hope our fans who are super anti-tanking and think we're tanking watch this game and see how bad the Suns really are. You know, the Suns are a great example of just like they're not developing their young guys. They're just not getting better.
No, they're not.
And that's you can't be there because then you can get all the top five picks in the world. And if you never teach them how to play NBA basketball, like what, it doesn't do you any good. So. You know, I've been encouraged. It's ultimately, yes, in the long term, it would be better if they would lose every game for the rest of the year and get the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
But that's not a guarantee that they would pick the right guy with that number one pick. I mean, see, I do feel like the top five guys in this draft are all pretty sure things, but they're not all sure superstars.
See, this is my whole thing. I guess let's just slide right into number two here. Because I'm going to catch a lot of number two after my take, I'm sure. But I don't trust this front office to handle this tank. And some of the things that I've seen proposed by supposed people who are in the know or should be, I'm glad that they're not doing it either. I mean, Tyreke Evans. People want to see him go. I think you do too, right?
Yeah, I'm one of those people.
I'm not. I like him. You know why? Because this is what's tipped the scales for me in that favor. And I was pretty much pro let's trade Tyreke too. Because if you remember when we talked about the Grizzlies at the beginning of the season, we hardly ever even mentioned him.
Yeah.
He wasn't even part of the plan for us.
Even though he was playing well, you know, like...
I mean, there was no point because I figured he would be gone. But I'm watching this. I can't remember what game it was. And I'm watching the end of the bench. there's something going on, and I see Chandler Parsons and Macklemore sitting next to each other giggling. And I'm thinking, we got $30 million of nothing but garbage down there. Giggling, they're useless. Unless they're trying to audition for a blooper reel, they're not going to help us much. Or a one-legged sack race. That's about it. They're not going to do much for him. And then you've got this guy, Tyreek Evans, who they signed for next to nothing relatively. And he's excelled. He's maintained a professionalism that I like. He's blue collar, and that's Memphis. And I just want him to stay. In fact, I opined a couple weeks ago that I thought, Kevin, and I know you're going to disagree with this probably too, that if I were going to get rid of one of those guys, Mike Conley or Tyreek, I would get rid of Mike Conley because I can get more for him and I can get Tyreek at a lot cheaper on an extension. I'm not talking about building my team around Tyreek Evans. I'm talking about this isn't going to be this miraculous turnaround in 18 months. This is going to take a couple seasons. And at least I know I got somebody out there who's going to at least be entertaining. That's my take on it.
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, yes.
I am wrong. I know I am.
He's been the only consistently good player on the Grizzlies this year. He's been their best player this year.
Oh, yes.
I don't think that's a matter up for debate. He has been the Grizzlies' best player by far this year.
Right.
I think what that means is, I mean, they would have to move Conley, Parsons, or Gasol to be able to re-sign him, because if they don't do that, I mean, even if he were going to sign a mid-level deal, which he's not, he's going to make more than that. He's played too well. Even if he were going to sign at the mid-level, they wouldn't have the money. So the question then is what you're proposing? Do they get rid of Conley? Do they, they're not going to be able to move off of Parsons. They would have to get rid of Conley or Gasol. I just don't think they're going to do that. And I think because, you know, the ownership situation we've been talking about all year is still in the air.
Right.
Word on the street is maybe we'll find something about that in March.
Okay, good.
But don't know how that's going to get settled. We don't know then, depending on who the owner is, determines who's going to be running the basketball side of the franchise going forward. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Chris Wallace, no matter who ends up owning the team.
Right.
And so you're heading into this summer. You might be heading into this summer with an all new basketball ops staff, coming off a down year. Coming off Conley's second year out of three, where he's missed the second half of the year with an Achilles thing.
Right.
I don't know if you'd even be able to get off of Conley, really, at that point. I mean,
I proposed this, though, Kevin, before the news came out that they were shutting him down and having surgery. Yeah,
that's true. I have the email to prove that.
Right. I mean, this is not a new thing for me. I just think that everything that you said, I can't dispute or disagree with because I happen to agree with you. I just think that this is going to take a lot longer. You know, one of the things I hate about tanking, especially with small market teams, is keeping the fans interested. And
yeah,
you've got this situation too. And people were, like I said, they were writing to me. They were concerned because we had never missed this much time during the season. I mean, off season, everybody knows I'm away for tennis and you're away for a break because you need one, especially after this season you will. But the thing is people are getting upset because they're getting hammered on Twitter and other places by people who have blogs and whatever, because they're happy that the Grizzlies win. And I think that that's not fair, because who doesn't want their team to win? It's not about what you understand about how things are fixed. It's about, this is your team. And if you go down to the FedEx and you're paying that kind of bread, don't you want to see them win? Don't you want, when you take your kids, to see them win?
I definitely understand that perspective. It's not the perspective I hold, but I also get to go for free, you know. I don't think that's wrong at all. I think it's I think back in, I mean, what was the real low point of the season? It was after Fizdale got fired and they lost however many more games in a row. I mean, it was before, basically before Christmas, from Thanksgiving to Christmas.
Right.
During that period where they won two games in a month, they didn't win a home game from October 28th to like December 15th or whatever.
Yeah, it was awful.
Then it made more sense to be completely gung-ho about tear this team down to the ground, start over again. All these guys are bums. I think what you've seen since then is that, I mean, I keep coming back to the Kings because they're so bad, but look at the Kings, right? That is a team full of first-round picks.
Yes.
And they got beaten by the Grizzlies team full of second-round picks.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, they're developing these young guys. I never thought Ivan Rabb would be able to score 10-7 in an NBA game this season. I thought he was too slow.
Right.
You know, Ivan Rabb is a very skilled basketball player.
Absolutely, he is.
Dylan Brooks, I mean, second-round pick, I thought he was a good pickup. I thought he would be – I didn't have any doubt that he would be an NBA player, you know, at least a rotation player. But he's in the Rising Stars Challenge.
I know.
I mean, what was the last Grizzlies player to play in that game? Mike Conley? Did Mike Conley even play in that game?
It wasn't Mike Conley.
OJ Mayo, maybe?
No, it was Marc Gasol.
Was it Marc Gasol? I mean, it was that long ago.
Yeah.
And he's a second-round pick, you know.
And well-deserving, by the way.
For sure. Yeah, he has played out of his mind. I mean, you saw him kind of hit the rookie wall there for a week or two and struggle, and then he pushed through that and played well again, you know.
Exactly. You know, at first I thought he was a guy, Kevin. I thought maybe he would be one of these guys that would be like a seventh, eighth, ninth man off the bench. But now I'm starting to think that a little more time on the court in a situation such as this where there's really no pressure, I think at some point he could be a starter in the NBA and be good. I mean, I know he is now, but only by default.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree at all.
He's got good energy, man. Dilly.
Well, we could leave that. We could leave that in the 2018 season. But
no,
I mean,
I had to bring that up one more time, though.
But you've been watching these games. Did you ever think Jarrell Martin would look like a real basketball player?
Dude, I got to tell you the truth. Well, you know, I do fantasy basketball, and I do FanDuel and stuff. And I see people talking about Jarrell Martin, and I said, man, you better forget about him. The only way you play him is if he's the only guy on the floor. And look at him.
He still is not he's still terrible in the half court.
Whatever.
But they're playing such a more up-tempo style, and they're passing the ball so much more that it doesn't matter. He's able to just kind of clean up and use his athleticism. What he's developing is an awareness of what he's good at and when he can apply it.
Bravo. That's a good way to put that too.
And that's the thing that he's been missing. You know, I mean, I think, look at that vicious putback dunk he had against Phoenix. Like, he doesn't make that play a year ago.
That, guess what? That's going to be on my dunk of the week, by the way.
That was insane.
If I can find the video, because, you know, people are a little slow putting up the Grizzly stuff this year, and rightly so. You know what I mean? They are. It is what it is. But I'm going to get that because that was fantastic. But again, that kind of kid, I like him. You know what I've liked this season, too, so far, is Deontay Davis. I mean, he's played halfway decent, too.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of he started out poorly, and then he was playing really well for a while.
Right.
And he's kind of cooled off again. I think just the fact that he's playing so many minutes is starting to get to him. You're seeing these guys are not really in the condition to play these kind of minutes.
Nor were they expected to at the beginning of the season either.
Exactly.
What about Wayne Selden? How do you feel about him?
I like Selden a lot. I think he's really good.
I do too. I think he's going to be a good player. See, there's so many good things to talk about with the Grizzlies. And I understand the tank again, and you've got Conley shut down, and that's okay. He needed surgery. I guess you and I were wrong a long time ago at the beginning of the season. We just thought he was tired or something.
Yeah.
We didn't realize he was hurt, and because he did seem a step too slow. But now you've got – is Marc Gasol the next one to get shut down? Because I don't see that happening.
I don't see it happening either. He's playing too many minutes. But I just don't see it. I think Parsons, you know, really, I think Parsons has been ready to come back for a week or two, and they're just holding him out and holding him out and holding him out. I know
right,
that was
I
the
have
deal
that in my notes.
With Seldon, I know they held him out longer. With Brandon Wright, I know they held him out longer, and now he's just not playing. I really think Parsons is being held out. I don't have any real evidence to back that up, but it's kind of the worst kept secret in Memphis right now. I don't, you know, it doesn't make any sense to play him. If you know you're not going to make the playoffs, why would you put more miles on him? You got to keep your delicate little flower in his bubble wrap as long as you can.
That was a good one there. I want to ask you this, though, now that we're up to Chandler Parsons, and he's on my list, and not in a derogatory way, because I'm done picking on the guy, whatever, but some people say that the Grizzlies want to give him a medical retirement and that he refuses.
I heard that, too. I don't know. I saw that being tweeted about.
That's where I saw it on Twitter. I can't remember who did it though, but it was interesting.
Yeah, it was Ron Taylor, the Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal, said that was being discussed. I don't think that is. I think that has been discussed before.
Right.
My sense is that was a conversation that was had this summer about, you know, if you blow out your knees again, or if your knees still don't work, like we got to think about this kind of thing.
Right.
Just floated as an idea because, you know, Chandler has to be on board for that. His agent has to be on board for that. The league has to be on board for that. The Grizzlies can't just make him quit playing basketball.
Right. I know. Yeah.
But it's, you know, coming off the bench, he looked all right. I don't think he's actually really hurt now. I mean, if you see the reports, it's pretty well known that he's close with Tim McMahon from ESPN, and Tim McMahon from ESPN is the one who reported, you know, he thinks he's ready to go and the Grizzlies won't let him play.
Right.
That doesn't, to me, suggest they're trying to get him to retire. It suggests they're shutting him down because they don't want to win and they don't want him to get hurt.
Well, he's not going to make that much of a difference anyway.
Well, you say that, but he's played well this year. I mean,
well,
he
I didn't
played
say
better.
That. I'm just saying that. He's giving you 20 minutes. He's been okay. I mean, he's been.
He's not going to change the course of the season. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm trying not to be derogatory toward him because it's a bummer getting hurt, and I know. But here's the thing: this goes back to the tank again. You got this guy, and you know that he has a history of knee trouble. He's a close buddy of Mark Cuban. If Mark Cuban thought he would be healthy enough to sign him, don't you think he would have re-signed him?
Yeah, I think the same thing about Brandon Wright and Vince Carter.
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
And Brandon Wright, you know, has barely seen the court during his time as a Grizzly. Vince Carter took 3 years to get healthy.
I remember that. Now he's, you know, he plays here and there. He had a big game once this year. So what? He's 40 years old, but still. And that goes back to how do we, everyone is so gung-ho. Like, they put this tank on steroids to the point that they're beating up people who, well, technically are their customers, who probably won't be anymore, which is probably good. And yet you've got this Chris Wallace, who I read that he's planning on retiring in 3 years? Within 3 years?
Yeah, I saw that too. I think that decision's going to get made for him when he gets fired, honestly.
Well, see, this is why I want to say this too. I want to bring this up. This is not in our show notes, but it don't matter. You and I, this season, we've talked more between shows than ever. I'm going to ask you this. I don't believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe that the Grizzlies ever for once intended on tanking. If they did, they would have just kept David Fizdale.
I don't think they could. I think the personalities there dictated that. Well, we don't know that J.B. Bickerstaff is not on board with whatever they're doing. I mean, I don't think they meant to either. That's the thing that I've been telling people on both sides of this. You know, you can argue all you want about tank like the 76ers or, you know, they should go out there and try to win every game. I mean, the fact of the matter is they came into the season trying to make the playoffs.
Yes, they sure did.
and they thought they were going to make the playoffs.
They
you know,
sure
that was,
did.
That was the goal. It was, they did not come into this season expecting it to be like this. They thought they were going to be a competitive Western Conference playoff team.
Right. The only person who didn't was me.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think, what did you say? 35 wins? I mean, that's only 17.
41-41.
And I said 44. I was way off. I was way off. I still think if Conley were healthy, if Conley and Parsons were healthy, especially, they probably would be the 8 seed. The West is down this year.
You know what? I would concede that to you too.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, maybe better than that. But
they much better. Look at, we never thought Tyreke Evans was going to be like this good and healthy too.
But I mean, the reality is, they've won 18 games. It's February now almost, and they've won 18 games. So,
right.
I mean, they didn't put themselves in the situation on purpose. They're adapting to it. And the reality is, once you know you're not going to make the playoffs, and they haven't been mathematically eliminated yet, but they're not going to make the playoffs.
So who's not going to be here on the Grizzlies by next Tuesday when we record again?
I still think Tyreke will be gone. I think they're going to get. I think they'll get a first round pick for him.
You do? I don't know, man, because he's a rental with an injury history.
He's a rental, but if you think the difference in you losing in the first round and making it to the conference finals is bringing a scorer off the bench, and you know you're going to be good next year anyway, why not? You know, put a lottery protected first round pick in there. I don't think it's going to be like a lottery pick, but you might get the 27th pick in the draft or something for him.
Okay, that's fair.
And that's Let me ask,
I'm not going to argue that. You saw Lou Williams play the other night.
I did.
Who would you rather have, Lou Williams or Tyreke Evans?
I mean, Lou Williams.
There's not a whole lot of teams looking for shooting guards to come off the bench.
Right. I mean, it depends on what you need. I think, Lou Williams playing the Grizzlies is way better than Lou Williams on average. I mean, he's scored 109 points against the Grizzlies in the last three games against them.
Right. He scored 50 against the Warriors a few weeks ago.
He has been playing out of his mind this year. I think they're different though. You know, I think if you are just looking for pure scoring, yeah, you go Lou Williams. But if you need somebody to handle the ball and distribute a little bit, you know, if you don't have enough faith in your backup point guard, or you also just want to put somebody else out there who can also be the point of attack for the offense, because the ball's going to stop there anyway. I think he makes a lot of sense. I still think, this just happened last night, but up until they traded their first round pick for Blake Griffin, I thought Detroit made a lot of sense to go after Tyreke.
Yeah, I think so too. And before Kevin Love broke his hand, people were talking about Tyreke going to the Cavs, but that's not going to happen either.
I mean, I could have even seen like a Marc Gasol and Tyreke for Kevin Love kind of thing happening, but I don't think that's on the table, and I don't think that was ever going to be on the table, but it would have been a good trade for both teams.
Okay, so Tyreke would probably be gone. I'm hoping that someone takes Chandler Parsons in that deal too, but I don't think that Chris Wallace is savvy enough to do that. Ben McLemore, though, that's a two-year deal. They're not paying him a whole lot, but I can't watch that dude, man.
I can't either, man. It's so bad.
I mean, really, you know, nothing for nothing, but he made my column like 4 weeks ago, Kevin. The story of the Grizzlies can be summed up in this. And that 360 dunk he missed?
Yeah.
What in the world? That was in Memphis, right?
Yeah, it was. He wasn't even open.
Did you lose your popcorn?
I stayed home that night, and I've never been so glad.
Oh, God. My throat was really sore, too, that night from coughing and stuff. And I was eating some peanut butter ice cream, and it almost made my cough come back.
I believe that.
I was just so frustrated. But, again, there's so many good things.
That's how you can tell they're not really tanking. He would be playing 20 minutes a night if they were really tanking.
Oh, God. He would get usage like Russell Westbrook. That's why Well, what are they going to do with Bickerstaff? Is he going to come back next year?
I think that depends on who's in charge in the front office. I think he's done a pretty good job.
Oh, yeah, I would think so, too. But he's I don't think he's in on a tank. You see, this is what I mean by this, is that when you get a lame duck coach like this, or interim coach, whatever you want to call it, whatever the more politically correct term is, he wants to win. And that's the other thing. I'm really getting fed up. Just because a team tanks, it's not the players that tank. It's the organization that tank. Every one of these guys has a vested interest in wanting to do their best. There's no one out there. I don't care if it's Vince Carter in his last game. He's going to try to bust 40 on you.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I think people lose sight of that. These guys are basketball players. And a lot of these guys know they're, you know, they have to prove that if they get cut this summer, some other team needs to pick them up. You know, I think all of these young guys are trying to prove that they belong on the Grizzlies going forward, and that if they're not on the Grizzlies, they're worth picking up for someone else. I mean, you're not going to see these guys take a night off. Marc Gasol knows where he's going to be next year. He can take a night off.
Of course he can.
Andrew Harrison cannot take a night off.
No, he can't. This week, though, we have a game Wednesday night at Indiana, Thursday night at Detroit. You'll probably see Blake Griffin. This is the thing, though. You know, I was thinking, it was really funny. I said, you know what? It's really cool now. We'll only have to see Blake Griffin twice. And he won't have to see Houston anymore this season, probably. And that probably is a good thing for him.
He's going to see the Grizzlies six times, though, now.
Oh, yeah, he will, won't he?
Yeah, they haven't played Detroit at all yet.
See, that's the whole thing. My first thought was, okay, cool. I'm going to miss those Memphis Grizzly Clipper games. But that was Zach Randolph and Griffin, so neither of them are there now. So I guess it doesn't matter. And then I looked at the schedule to prepare for the show today, and I noticed that Thursday night at Detroit, and then Sunday at Toronto, White Vegas. None of those games are winnable, probably. Maybe the Indiana game they can probably, maybe. That's a schedule loss, though, because they're not in Indiana yet, are they?
Yeah, they went today.
Oh, then that's not a schedule loss, then.
They went today. That Detroit on a back-to-back is rough. And then I don't know if you notice this or not, that Toronto game is at 11 Memphis time.
Noon. Yeah, I did notice. I'm looking right at it. That's cool in a way. I like those early games for me.
Yeah.
But it's Super Bowl Sunday, miss the Super though, Bowl. Right?
Yeah. They're going to lose that game.
Sure they will. And they'll lose the Thursday night game because that's just going to be rough. Because Indiana, that's actually a different time. So you're in big trouble. They're going to lose hours. Have you ever heard of that MA rating, MAH?
No.
Okay, this is a thing at ESPN. I'm going to send you the link when we get done with the show, because it's pretty interesting. They take a look at all these teams and how they perform, how many miles they have to travel, and how many games they play. And they're pretty darn close. I mean, I think it's like an 85% or something to some lady sleep disorder specialist. It's interesting. I'll send you the link. We'll talk about it next time for sure. But it's cool to be a Grizzlies fan still. I don't care. I really don't. I'm really happy. And if you noticed, I've taken a more positive approach to this whole thing. And I'm defending the people again, because that's my job. I'm the voice of the Memphian people for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, well, and I mean, you can say this about anything, but there's extremes on both sides, and the truth is in the middle. You know?
Bravo.
I think it doesn't do it. It ultimately, yes, they want a high draft pick, but it doesn't do them any good to do that at the expense of their young guys. So, I think what they're doing is fine.
I think so, too. And you want to know something else about the truth in the middle? The Memphis Flyer is the number one newspaper in Memphis. We are very proud to represent them on this show. We're proud of the Grizzlies fight, the young guys, for Kevin Leip. I'm Phil Nasons. We want to thank you as always for listening to Beyond the Arc.